Welcome to the deep dive.
Oh.
You've probably heard the buzz around NAD plus G, right? It seems to be everywhere in health talks.
Oh, definitely. It's a hot topic.
Okay, so let's just jump in. NAD plus G, it's this molecule, a coenzyme, and it's absolutely fundamental. Basically, it keeps our cells running.
That's right. It's in every single living cell, crucial for energy, how we get power from food, and also for keeping things repaired.
And for this deep dive, we've pulled together, well, a mix of sources. We've got the core science from research summaries, but also what people are actually hearing on health podcasts.
Yeah, which is a great way to do it. Connects the lab bench to the real-world conversation that's happening around it.
Exactly. So the mission for everyone listening is to get a really clear, straightforward picture of NAD plus gallium.
No jargon overload.
Hopefully not. We'll cover what it does, the whole idea of boosting it, especially with things like NR and NMN, but also critically what the human studies are telling
Which
us.
isn't always the same as the early experiments, right?
Precisely.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely hit on safety, side effects, all that important stuff.
Yeah.
Think of it as your express lane to understanding NAD plus without getting lost.
Okay, let's start with the basics then. What is NAD plus actually doing in our cells? You mentioned energy.
Yeah, energy is the big one. It's a coenzyme, so it helps other enzymes work. And its main job is helping convert our food, carbs, fats, proteins into ATP.
ATP, right, adenosine triphosphate. That's basically the cell's usable energy currency, like cellular gasoline.
Good analogy. So NAD plus is kind of like the tanker truck carrying the electrons needed for that conversion process.
Exactly, it's an electron carrier. Without enough NAD plus FUT, that whole energy production line just slows right down. It's really a linchpin for cellular energy.
Okay, so vital for fuel. But you
Yeah.
said it's more than that. A DNA repair came up.
Absolutely critical. NAD plus is used up, it's a substrate, by enzymes like sirtuins and PARPs.
The cell's repair crew.
You could think of it like that, yeah. They need NAD plus to go in and fix damage to our DNA. And since DNA damage builds up as we age and is linked to disease, well, you can see why this is important.
So it's not just about immediate energy, it's about long-term maintenance of our actual genetic code.
Wow. Right, it directly impacts aging at a really fundamental level by fueling that repair system.
And these sirtuins you mentioned, they do more than just repair, don't they? Something about gene expression.
That's correct. They're NAD plus a dependent, meaning they need NAD plus to work, and they essentially act like switches, turning certain genes on or off.
Which affects how cells age, how they handle stress.
Exactly. It influences how cells respond to stress, inflammation, even things like our internal body clocks, circadian rhythms, and immune function, too. It's all very interconnected.
Okay, clearly a major player. So that brings us to the big excitement, boosting NAD plus levels. The preclinical stuff, the animal studies, sounded really promising.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the initial buzz came from. Studies in animals, mostly mice, showed some, frankly, quite remarkable results when NAD plus was boosted using precursors.
Precursors like NR and NMN.
Right. Nicotinamide riboside, NR, which is a form of vitamin B3, and nicotinamide mononucleotide, NMN, another related molecule. They feed into the pathways that make NAD plus way.
And what did they see in those animal models, the lifespan stuff?
That got a lot of attention. In some studies, they saw increases not just in total lifespan, but also in health span.
Meaning they lived longer and healthier?
Pretty much, yeah, staying healthier for a bigger chunk of their lives. That's the goal, really.
Absolutely. But it wasn't just about living longer in the mice, was it? Metabolic health was mentioned too.
Oh, definitely. Big improvements seen there in animal models. Better blood sugar control, improved insulin sensitivity.
So less risk of metabolic syndrome type issues.
Exactly. Some specific mouse studies using NMN showed positive effects on how they handled glucose and responded to insulin, hints towards benefits for things like type 2 diabetes.
Okay, and beyond metabolism, heart, brain.
Also saw positive signals there, things like improved blood vessel function, maybe some protection against certain heart problems, and for the brain, hints of neuroprotection against neurodegenerative conditions.
And muscles.
Yep, some studies pointed to better muscle strength endurance. Research looking specifically at NR suggested it could raise NAD plus and improve how the mitochondria of the cell's powerhouses were working in these animals.
Okay, so the animal picture looks pretty compelling. Lots of potential benefits across different systems.
It does, but, and it's a significant but.
It doesn't always translate perfectly to humans.
Exactly. That leap is where things get, well, nuanced. Let's talk about the human studies.
Right. So, what do we know from testing these precursors like NR and NMN in people? Do they actually raise NAD plus levels?
Yes, that part seems pretty clear. Human studies generally confirm that taking these supplements does increase measurable NAD plus levels in the body.
Okay, so step one achieved. The biochemical change happens.
Right. But the next step, translating that higher NAD plus level into clear, measurable clinical benefits for diseases or overall health, that's where the results haven't been as consistently dramatic as in the animal models.
So the promise we saw in mice isn't quite hidden the same way in human trials so far.
Not always, or at least not as strongly or consistently, especially in shorter term studies. It's a complex picture. Boosting NAD plus seems possible, but proving it fixes specific human health problems is the hurdle we're still working on.
Okay, but there have been some positive signals in human trials, haven't there? Not just a total blank slate.
No, not at all. Some trials have definitely shown encouraging changes in certain markers, things like improvements in insulin sensitivity in some groups or reductions in markers of inflammation.
Those are good signs, right? Intermediate steps.
They are definitely encouraging. But when you look for the really solid, hard endpoints like significant weight loss or big drops in blood sugar or HbA1c in diabetics, those kinds of things.
The results are less consistent.
Yeah, especially in the studies done so far, which are often relatively short. It really highlights that we just need more data from longer-term human studies to see the full picture.
Makes sense. We need to see if those marker changes actually lead to better health outcomes over time. Okay, let's shift gears slightly. For people listening who might be thinking about trying these supplements, safety. What's the deal with side effects?
Generally speaking, at the kind of doses usually recommended, they seem to be reasonably well tolerated for most people. But side effects have definitely been reported in studies.
Well, how things are common?
Mostly milder stuff, often related to digestion. So things like nausea, maybe some stomach discomfort, diarrhea, indigestion.
Okay, typical supplement type issues sometimes.
Yeah. Also, some people experience flushing, that temporary skin redness and warmth, headaches, fatigue, sometimes muscle cramps, especially in the calves, apparently, and even skin rashes have popped up.
All right, so mostly annoying, but not necessarily dangerous things for the common side effects. What about more serious concerns? Were there any?
Well, there have been some reports, less commonly, of things like elevated liver enzymes. Even potential liver toxicity has been mentioned, though the exact link and long-term meaning aren't fully clear yet.
Okay, liver is definitely something to watch.
Right. Also, low platelet counts have been seen occasionally, and specifically with IV NAD plus air.
An intravenous route.
Yeah. If it's not administered carefully, there's a risk of vein inflammation and platelitis. And like anything, rare allergic reactions can happen.
Hmm. Anything else on the more concerning side?
Interestingly, there was some data suggesting it might potentially decrease insulin sensitivity in certain situations or individuals, which is, well, counterintuitive given the metabolic benefits seen elsewhere. Needs more research.
That is unexpected. Something to definitely keep an eye on. Does it matter how you take it or which precursor, like IV versus pills or NR versus NMN?
It seems like it might, yes. The side effect profile could differ between IV and oral forms, and there's some maybe preliminary suggestion that NR and NMN might be tolerated a bit better than some other NAD plus boosting compounds.
But still evolving research.
Very much so. And the big caveat is always the lack of really long-term safety data in humans. We just haven't been studying these widely for decades yet.
Right. And wasn't there something about animal studies and tumors?
Ah, yes. There was concern raised from an animal study where very high doses of NR were linked to tumor growth in mice. It caused a stir.
But the relevance to humans taking normal doses?
That's the big question. It's really unclear if those findings at massive doses in mice translate to humans taking typical supplement amounts. Definitely needs more investigation, but it's out there.
Okay, so quite a bit to consider on the safety front.
Yeah.
What are the absolute key precautions then? Who should be particularly careful?
Well, number one, obviously, if you know you're allergic to NAD plus or anything else in the product, avoid it. Standard stuff.
Right.
Then, because we lack solid safety data, it's generally advised against during pregnancy and breastfeeding. Just not enough information there.
Makes sense.
And crucially, potential interactions. It could interact with certain medications, some antidepressants, maybe insulin, or even other supplements.
So the bottom line is,
talk to your doctor. Seriously. Before starting any NAD plus supplement, have that conversation. They know your health history, your medications, and can help assess if it's appropriate and what the risks might be for you.
Absolutely essential advice.
Okay.
Now, shifting again, we also looked at how NAD plus is talked about more broadly, like on health and wellness podcasts. What themes kept coming up there?
It's really fascinating to see the narrative. Longevity and health span are huge themes. The idea that boosting NAD plus can help you live longer and healthier.
Tied into the DNA repair and energy stuff we talked
about.
Exactly.
They often highlight the link to sirtuins, DNA repair, energy production. And no surprise, NR and NMN are constantly discussed as the main ways to boost levels. Lots of talk about how they're absorbed, bioavailability.
Right. And the whole oral versus IV debate. That's a common topic too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Big time. You hear arguments for IV maybe giving a bigger, faster boost by skipping digestion.
Versus the convenience of pills.
Right. And you also hear a lot of anecdotal reports. People sharing their personal stories. I have so much more energy. My brain feels sharper. I just feel better.
Which can sound really compelling.
It can. But, and it's crucial for listeners to remember this, those personal stories aren't scientific proof. They're anecdotes. Interesting, maybe. But not the same as data from a controlled trial.
A very important distinction. Did these podcasts generally cover the downsides or the unknowns, too?
The better ones do, yes. Many will mention the known side effects, like the stomach issues. They often acknowledge the need for more long-term safety research.
And the controversies, like the animal versus human results.
Some definitely dive into that. The questions around optimal doses, how well the animal findings really apply to us, the need for more robust human evidence. You'll often hear experts calling for more well-designed clinical trials to get solid answers.
Good. Were there any specific conditions or benefits that got mentioned frequently in those discussions?
Yeah, a few pop up regularly. Healthy aging and longevity, obviously. The differences between NAD plus ERANM, explaining those, the best way to boost levels, including that oral IV thing.
Anything else specific?
Sometimes potential links to things like ADHD come up, or using it as part of strategies for addiction recovery or managing chronic pain. And the core ideas of cellular energy, protection, repair are constant themes. Some even talk about testing NAD plus levels.
But the overall message from credible sources seems to be
usually cautious optimism tempered with a call for relying on solid evidence and professional medical advice, not just the hype. Critical evaluation is key.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. The basic science, the exciting potential, the human study nuances, safety, and the wider conversation.
Yeah.
If you had to boil it down, what's the main takeaway for our listener today?
I think the core message is NAD plus is absolutely vital for our cells, no question. Boosting it shows real promise in lab settings and animal studies, which is exciting.
Mm. But the human evidence, while showing some positive signals and confirming we can raise levels, is still developing.
Exactly. The large-scale, long-term proof of major clinical benefits and the full long-term safety picture are still works in progress. There are important nuances and safety points to consider.
Absolutely. So for you listening, thinking about getting knowledge quickly but thoroughly, maybe looking for those aha moments without drowning in info.
Yeah.
What part of this NAD plus story grabs you most? Is it that potential link to a longer health span? Or maybe the challenge of translating animal science to human reality.
It's definitely a field moving fast. The enthusiasm is understandable, but staying grounded in the current science, exploring reliable sources, and crucially,
talking to your healthcare provider.
Yes, before making any personal health decisions about supplementation. That's non-negotiable.
Well said. And it does make you wonder, looking forward, as the research keeps coming, how will our understanding of NAD plus aging and health change? What other possibilities might open up down the road?
Lots to think about. It'll be fascinating to watch.
Indeed. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.